In that sense, everyone is Lord Brahma's son or daughter or down the chain. Here the point is that our real enemy in life, we have many enemies, but our real enemy, our most important enemy is lust. Kamesha, Krodesha, Vrajadvamsa, Mudbala. Mahasano Mahapa is all devouring, sinful enemy. Vairam, all devouring, sinful enemy. Lust or its manifestation, sexual intercourse, is glorified in our world today. Predominantly, or mainly because the world is controlled by demons. It is Kali Yuga. There's a perennial battle going on between the Asuras and the Asuras, and sometimes the Asuras appear to lose or are dominated by the Asuras, and this is one of those times when the world is controlled by Asuras, and they like to promote activities, they like to advertise lusty activities, they like to glorify sex. Sex is like any other natural function. Sex is for creating children. Because it is a very hard thing to raise a child, therefore the genitals coated with a substance which gives intense pleasure. Otherwise one wouldn't take the trouble to raise children. It's such a problem. Sannyasis are lucky they get to just watch the householders go through all the problems of raising children. Okay, children are cute, children are fun, but you pay a high price for that little bit of cuteness. But we have misconstrued that this little bit of pleasure is a replacement for real pleasure, for spiritual pleasure. And this is illusion. So our enemies are Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. Lust, Kam, Krodh, anger, Lobh, greed, illusion, Mada, pride, Matsarya, envy. Interesting, Marichi is praying here for the deliverance of Lord Brahma, but Marichi has six sons, and the names of his six sons are Kamprodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. And Marichi is head of the Sapta Rishis, seven great sages. He's a very powerful personality. But when Devaki bore six children who were all killed by Kamsa, symbolically, her six sons were Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. And her sons were killed, and she was constantly in fear of Kamsa. So Kamsa killed her sons. And Prabhupada comments that the devotees of the Lord, they're constantly in fear of the power of the material energy. In fact, he said once, the trouble with you Americans is you have no fear of Maya. So especially lust, we should understand that lust in the form of sex life or lust when it is sublimated. It becomes love, puja, pratishta, profit, adoration, and distinction. It's not in our self-interest. Our self-interest is Krishna, Vishnu, God, love of God, prema. That is eternal. That is ever-expanding. But conversely, lust is never satisfied. Dushparena analena cha. It's always burning. Lust is always agitating the mind. And no matter how you try, no matter how many arrangements you make, no matter what effort, you can't satisfy lust. And then the body is finished. You get old, you get diseased, and you die. And especially in old age with disease, although the desire is still intense, you don't have the facility, so it's complete frustration. If it's frustration when you're younger, because you can't always get the object of your lust, it's much more frustrating when you're older. Even if you get the object of your lust, you can't perform. They say about sex, try weekly. 3 times a week, try weekly. You get older, you try once a week. And you get very old, you try, but you're so weak you can't do anything. That's the nature of the body. It breaks down. And Prabhupada said, that dehinosmin yatha dehe, the embodied soul continually passes. Komaram yovaram jara, from boyhood to youth to old age. So he said, of course, dhira-stakra-namuyati, self-realized soul of the equipoise mind, not disturbed. But in regards to Komaram Yovanam Chara, he says up to the age of 5, childhood. Then Yovanam, you, up to the age of 40. This is 40, that's old age. Actually, 40 to 50 is preliminary old age. But once you hit 50, that's it, old age. Panchasaur Bambanam Rajata, 50, got to go to the forest. And everything starts to break down. It really does. You slow down. Your mind doesn't slow down. Your mind still wants to play basketball. Your mind still wants to do all those things that you used to do when you were young. And then disease sets in. And then it really becomes troublesome. And if you're attached, if you have not learned detachment, if you're still attached, then you suffer greatly. So while one is young, you must learn how to move in the world but not be attached to the world. Must learn how to keep his mind fixed on transcendence. And the key is given here. The Lord gives protection to devotees who are always engaged in his transcendental loving service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. We have to make sure that our senses are so fixed up in devotional service that we have no time for lust. Lust can't enter because we're constantly thinking about the next offering, about the next person to distribute a book to, about the next publisher we have to meet, or the officials we have to meet for Rath Yatra, or the next case to defend the devotees. Our minds are so absorbed 24 hours a day that there's no room for lust. Otherwise, lust will catch us. Even a vipassita, even a very learned man, indriyani pramatini haranti prasavamana, lust will force you to act against your will. Even a learned, scholarly, rational, wise person, he will get dragged down. Nam pramata kurute vikan, because he's pramata or mad. This lust makes us mad. We do things which we regret later on. Why did I do that? I wish I could go back in time. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want that. But my lust forced me at that time. It's madness, pramatta. And vikarma, that's when we break the regulative principles. Karma, vikarma, and akarma. We want activities which will liberate us from the material world. We want to get free. We want to experience our natural birthright, satchit ananda, eternal life full of knowledge and bliss. But as long as we don't take charge of our mind and our senses, the central point is the mind. Elevate ourselves by the mind, not degrade ourselves. The mind should be our friend, not our enemy. Mind should bring us satisfaction, happiness, peace. But only if we put Krishna in the center and make all of our activities somehow or other related to Him. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We may be a householder and we may have to work at a non-devoted job or karmi job. But we can dovetail that in Krishna service, and if it's authorized by the Shastra, if it's authorized by the sadhus, then we should be confident that this is also devotional service. And we should think of Krishna, that I am performing this work for Krishna. I'm using the fruits for Krishna. I'm using my time, my energy for Krishna. Then we will be able to deal with lust to a greater degree. Of course, there's always, until we're completely pure, there's always the possibility that lust can creep in. But Krishna will protect us. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasati. Krishna protects his devotees. Devotees do get old, they do get diseased, they do die. It's not that he protects us and we live in this body eternally, but he protects us from fall down. And even if there is an accidental fall down, he'll help us to get back up. And he will forgive us a few times. Not more. One should not make a license of falling down. That's committing sin on the strength of chanting. And there are two offenses which are major offenses. The first offense and the seventh offense. Blaspheming Vaishnavas and committing sin on the strength of chanting. We should not do that. We should get the requisite strength. You all have it. Ultimately, all of us, there's no excuse. The soul is not different. The covering may be different. And therefore, the effulgence is eclipsed to different degrees. But everyone has the same potency to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Everyone can. You can, if you want. get full shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, engage in his devotional service, and be free from this itching sensation of lust. Prayer is very powerful. Why are we worshiping with meaning to our beliefs? Why are we dressing him so nicely every day and offering all sorts of articles and puja? Why? Just because when we were kids we liked to play with dolls, so now we're older we play with dolls. The deities are here so that we can come in and sit down and pray. And how do you pray? You talk to the Lord. You supplicate yourself before him. You offer some standard prayers. And then you pray to him, Lord, I'm having a difficult time with this. Please help me. Please guide me. And you offer some rounds. And you pray again. Krishna is so wonderful that he will actually answer your prayers. And he'll protect you, I guarantee it. He will help you in every way, in the best way. Akama sarvakama va mokshakam dadati. Tigrena bhakti yogena tibra. If you have faith in this process, and you practice it very nicely, then Krishna will bring you peace of mind. And even materially, eshavosvishtakamadu, there will be abundance, sufficient, whatever you need, Krishna will provide. If you're humble and satisfied, and Prabhupada said, Krishna tested me by taking everything away. And then again he tested me by giving me everything. So we may be tested, but Krishna just wants to see, do we want him or do we want his opulence? We all test people. I know some very wealthy people, devotees, who in their previous lives and even at present to a degree, they feel great anxiety because people come to them in friendship, but they're never sure whether the people want their money or they actually want to be friends. Because you're a nice person, because I like you, I want to be your friend, I don't care about your money. So we do that, and Krishna wants to see. Do we want him? Do we want his devotional service? Or are we simply engaging in religious activities so we can get some material benefit? That also happens. People come here. They practice devotional service, they get some facility, and then they go away. But pure devotional service is a pratyata. No disturbance, no break. This is what will satisfy us. We are ultimately hankering after this satisfaction only. And we have to focus on this, and we have to work on it, and we have to enthusiastically endeavor. And there should be no doubt in our minds. We should not hesitate. If there are devotional activities, if we don't have any devotional service, we should go to the temple president and demand, I want service. It's your right to have devotional service. And he'll say, clean the temple floor. And you'll say, thank you, thank you. Anything we can do, and I've done everything. I've cleaned Krishna's bathrooms. And I enjoy it. This was for Krishna. I've been the cook for Rukmini Dwarkadish. I was their pujari. I've been the Sankirtan leader in L.A. I've been the president. I've been the regional secretary. I've been the GBC. I've seen it all. It's all the same. The taste is the same. So you need to get some service so that this enemy doesn't creep in. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, the natural joy, the joie, the vivre, the joy of life is already compact in the soul. You just have to unlock the gate, unlock the door, unlock your heart, melt your heart by being constantly engaged. Today is a very auspicious day. It's a disappearance. Prakat and aprakat, manifest and unmanifest leelas. But Shiva's Thakur, Shiva's Pandit, it's his disappearance day. And he was a wonderful devotee. Actually, he was an incarnation of a devotee. His incarnation, he was one of Lord Chaitanya's associates. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, he came with his entourage. And one of his entourage was Shrivas Thakur. He appeared about 30 years before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Srihatta, which means the village of Sri. So he was Srivas, and he had three brothers named Srinidhi, Sripati, and Sriram. And it was three brothers from Srihatta. And they were contemporaries of Advaita Acharya. So, and they moved to Navadvipa to be closer to Advaita Acharya, who was the senior Vaishnava at that time. And Advaita Acharya would chant very loudly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they moved there so that they could also chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Loudly they could chant. And actually Lord Chaitanya stated one day, he said that I was here just because of the loud chanting. Anyway, Srivas Thakur's wife was named Malini, and they were good friends with Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. So when Lord Chaitanya was born, Malini used to advise Sachi Devi how to raise her child. And she was already experienced, and she had children. And they used to also observe the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's wonderful childhood pastimes in the house of Jagannath Mishra. Srivas Thakur, of course, his house is still there, Srivas Angam, just before Yoga Peeth, when you go towards Mayapur on the Bhakti Siddhanta Road. And it was there that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested many wonderful pastimes. He had his nocturnal kirtans there. And Srivas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya's intimate devotees were engaged in those same kirtan pastimes. And in fact, Mahaprabhu, his kirtans were quite ecstatic. When we go out on Harinam, it's always good. We're enthusiastic, but we should not be whirling dervishes, or, you know, we should be relatively. Well, Indraduna Maharaj has a wonderful show, and it's all rehearsed and organized, and it's very attractive. It's not that just because it's organized and practiced that it's unattractive. It is attractive, but it's not a madhouse. So, but the nocturnal kirtans of Lord Chaitanya, many wonderful things happen. So Mahaprabhu would lock the door. He locked all the doors of Srivas's house, and only his intimate associates could take part. And one time they were about to start Sankirtan, and Mahaprabhu complained, "My mind is disturbed. Something is wrong." So Srivas Thakur looked around, he didn't know what was wrong. And finally he saw that his mother-in-law was hiding in the corner. She had a turban on. She put on a turban. She wanted to be there. And she tried to pretend she was a man. So he had to remove her. And then the kids on went on. There are many other instances, many of the pastimes of Srivas Thakur were there, Srivas Angam. On one particular occasion, the smarta brahmanas, they were complaining to the Kazi about Mahaprabhu, and there were other people getting upset about the Sankirtan movement. So he got very angry, and he rushed to the house of Srivas, and he burst in the door and said, "Srivas, who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping?" And then he went into the deity room and sat down on the singhasana, and he manifested a four-armed woman, and Srivas was love. So what Chaitanya wanted to emphasize that his activities were ordinary, and that these demons were trying to stop the Sankirtan movement, but they would not be successful because the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself was leading them out. There was another occasion where they were having in the courtyard big Sankirtan, and in the inner chamber of the house, one of Srivas Thakur's sons died. And Srivas came back and told them, "Okay, okay, but don't disturb Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. You know, this is very unfortunate, but it's happened." So then, after about 2 hours of Sankirtan, Mahaprabhu could understand that some great tragedy had taken place. And so he went to the place where the boy had died, and he said to the boy, "Why have you died like this?" And the boy said, "Well, because it was my time. I had to go." And he explained some more. And then Mahaprabhu blessed him. And then the parents were pacified that even though their son had gone, that he had been benedicted by the Supreme Lord. On another occasion, one very envious person named Gopal Chapala came. He placed some wine and sindoor and other dirty things, meat, on the steps of the house, and then he went away. So in the morning when Srivas opened his door and he saw all these things, he started showing people, "See, look at this, look at all this." He didn't try to hide anything, he just showed everybody. It was supposed to, the local people were supposed to get the idea that, "Oh, these guys are in Srivas' house and all night and drinking and eating meat, and they're actually pseudo-devotees and they're just cheating us." But nobody really believed it anyway, but after 2 or 3 days, Gopal Chapala came down with leprosy. Very quickly, his body was covered with leprosy. And he apologized, and then he was relieved of his disease. But on another instance, another person had criticized Srivas. And he also suffered a horrible disease, and he came to Mahaprabhu and begged for his mercy. And Mahaprabhu completely shunned him and angrily shouted, "Get out of here, you sinful wretch!" He wouldn't speak to him or anything, and then begged him, fell down, please. And Mahaprabhu said, "You criticize the Vaishnava, and the only remedy is you go to that Vaishnava, you beg his forgiveness, we need to be relieved. And he did that, and he was relieved. But Shiva's talk was not a whole lot of biography about him, but certainly he is one of the Panchatattva. And we can be constantly absorbed in remembering Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna by remembering Srivastava Kaur. Today is Independence Day, so you're all independent. You can go out to every day. But in 1976, it was the 100th of the centennial of America's independence. And BTG came out with a nice cover for the magazine declaring our dependence on Krishna. And Prabhupada liked it very much. So we are dependent. And it's all right. Just like a young child in a big department store like Macy's or one of these mile-long malls. If the child is separated from his parents, he's in great distress. But when through the security the child again finds his parents, he's very peaceful and happy because he's dependent on the parents. It's not bad to be dependent when you're dependent upon Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And even we should understand, if we think that we have become dependent on someone, and somehow or other, by bad luck or whatever, that person let us down. But what we're doing here is we're learning how to be humble, how to be dependent on Krishna. Krishna's accepting us. It's Krishna who told us to accept a spiritual master. It's Lord Shiva who told us that worship of the Vaishnavas is greater than the worship of Krishna. So we're following the Lord. He's following us also. He's seeing how we're maturing and developing. And there's no loss in your endeavor if you adopt the right means under the right authorities. And there may be problems and mistakes. Prabhupada once said, my Guru Maharaj was right, even when he was wrong. We're following Krishna's orders, even, you know, you can't see, it's like a young child. The mother is sitting there knitting some sweater or something, and she's making some peacocks on the sweater, or a beautiful picture of Krishna, and she's got the yarn and everything, and the child is sitting on the floor, and from the bottom it looks like just a bunch of red and blue and hanging yarn. But if you go up top and look down, you see, oh, a beautiful pattern is coming. So we can't see how things are developing, because we're like little children, confused in certain ways. But we should have no doubt that we have the right spiritual master, and he told us what to do, distribute his books, serve the deity, take prasadam. Everything else is extra. If we're following the principles, if we're attending the morning and evening program, if we're engaging our senses in devotional service, you're protected! Your devotional service will never be lost. It'll stay with you eternally until you reach Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Lord Krishna's also. I meant to say Lord Krishna when Prabhupada came out. But it doesn't matter, because if you can get to Prabhupada's